can you stop? Clinking the yeah, we're about to start an episode.
Stop eating, you f***!
Dud says stop eating, you f***. Okay? Okay. 5 seconds. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Prototype. I'm Jamie JJ Johnston, also known as Dovaz on my Twitch channel, and who am I joined with today?
Oh my god,
someone's drowning!
I am, gurgle. How are you?
Hi, my god!
That was weird.
Okay. Yes, it was.
Were you gurgling?
Is it cum? Iced tea, yes. Well, it would sound a little thicker than that, wouldn't you think? Yeah, mayonnaise.
How do you know that? Seriously.
Well, you see, Jamie.
And that's a topic for another day, and probably a show that is not about video games. how's everybody doing? Anyway, we are back with another episode of The Prototype here today. I know we promised that it would be all about the Xbox One and how it's been doing, but we decided that, you know what? All three consoles have been out for a little while, so we're going to do kind of like a recap on all of the next-gen consoles. And we've done an episode about our predictions of how well they're going to do and how well or terrible they were doing at that time. And so we're going to do a bit of a recap here and future projections as well, because everything's actually been going a lot differently than we previously discussed, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we're basically 2 years out from the Wii U's launch. We are a year almost to the day for launch of Xbox One and PS4. I mean, Xbox One came out first, PS4 was a couple of weeks later. And, well, how do things stack up? And we can also talk a little bit about the PlayStation Vita and the 3DS and see how well that's been, because those two consoles have been around forever now. So, I don't know, where do we even begin to start with this one?
Well, let's just say this. What consoles do you have, Dodd?
I have every single one. I've got one Wii U.
Fuck you, Dodd.
I know, right? I got one Wii U, courtesy of Nintendo, so there's that out of the way. I have an Xbox One, I have a PlayStation 4, I have a PlayStation Vita, and I have a Nintendo 3DS. Once again, thank you to Nintendo.
So there's actually a reason why I brought that up. So versus you, who most of them you have to get for your reviews, etc., I'm on the contrast here.
You get to pick what you
haven't. Yeah, I get to pick what I actually want. So I first got a 3DS because of the game Fire Emblem Awakening, because that's just how much I love Fire Emblem, and that game looked amazing, and it was totally worth it. And I have an Xbox One because it was won in a contest. I have nothing else. What does that mean? Well, that means that I haven't actually had the urge to buy a console since any of them have come out, except for the 3DS. So we're going to talk about why.
Well, basically, your gaming dollar means more to you.
Yes.
Because you only have so much of it. And that's the way it is for a lot of gamers. I mean, total first world problem. I have to have all these consoles so I can give an opinion across the various kind of media outlets that I do. And with you, you get to pick and choose. And in some way, that's a more envious position because you can focus on what you love more.
And I also get to follow all of the different media streams, the reviews, the public eye of why should we buy these things, because I actually have to research it if I decide that I want to buy anything. And so far, I haven't really bought any because there just hasn't been anything crazy awesome that I've wanted. Like, there's certain things which are pretty good, but there has yet to be that console seller for me. That being said, I'm very close to buying a Wii U and possibly a PS4 because things are coming out and there is a sufficient library now. I mean, like, it's been 2 years for the Wii U. It's been a year or so for the Xbox One, which Xbox One would have been a very tough decision, since I did get the one from winning that Doritos contest. Well, my girlfriend won the contest, and we, you know, share it. But I would be at a very, very tough decision at this point, because Halo Master Chief Collection did just come out, and I'm a huge Halo fan. But even with it having come out and me having a console, I haven't found myself playing it that much. I just, like, it's good. I mean, it's HD Halos, and I've done that all before, which I think is the reason why I probably still wouldn't have bought an Xbox yet. Titanfall is a huge reason to buy an Xbox One. So the combination of those two games would have me very close to buying it. Halo 5 coming out next year would have been a 100%, okay, I'm buying it, because I now have three games that I would want to play all the time. That being said, there is a lot of other good games. You'd be able to actually explain this a lot better than I would, because you probably played them all. I know Sunset Overdrive is a lot of fun. It's not a system seller for me, personally. What else has come out for Xbox? My brain is not working. Oh, Halo Spartan Assault is also on it. I believe it was a free download for gold members for a while there. I'm not sure if it still is.
I don't
is
think it? No, not no. anymore.
Which is like a top-down shooter in Halo style. It's fun. It's definitely not a system seller. I mean, it's like, even when you do buy it, I think it's like $10, $20.
It's a fun distraction.
It is a very fun distraction for about 2 hours of your time, and then you've beaten it. There, if you are into fighters, there is the Xbox exclusive Killer Instinct, which, from everything I've heard from people that enjoy fighters, that is a reason to buy the console. For me, not so much. I think there's been a Street Fighter. I don't know. I stopped following Street Fighter because there's just a bajillion of them all the time. Honestly, for me, I think that's about it. Like, I mean, there is multi-platform games such as, like, Metal Gear. A lot of the other games. COD, yeah, but fuck COD. I mean, COD's great. Yeah, woo! There is Dead Rising 3, which, for me, I don't know, Dead Rising 2 didn't really sell me that well, so I didn't really care when that came out. I have heard a lot of great things. You've even told me that it's an amazing game, but I still don't see myself buying a console for that. Even with the combination of all of those games, like, it really would come down to Titanfall, Halo Master Chief Collection, and Halo 5 would be what would sell me. But those are all, like, very, like, they're AAA games. They're very good, and they fall into the category that I enjoy. Is there anything else that you can think of that has come out that, for specifically the Xbox One only, that is like, holy crap, you should have bought this by now?
Maybe the Forza games. I mean, if you're into that sort of thing, Forza 5, very pretty looking game, very good sim game, because the PlayStation 4 doesn't have their Gran Turismo yet.
That's true.
Yeah. Whereas Forza Horizon 2 just came out. And it's the more arcadey feeling of the Forza games, and it's a lot of fun, too. There's also Rise, Son of Rome, which is not a system seller, believe you me.
That's translation for it was bad.
You know what? It's not that it's bad, it's repetitive as shit.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, because when we saw this game at Microsoft preview events, it looked really cool. And then we did the same thing over and over again. But you can make that argument for Halo 2, if you really wanted to.
You can make that argument for any game, really. But,
pretty much.
I mean, that, like, the style of that game, it kind of relies on not being repetitive for as long as it was repetitive. You need to have fresh things slowly introduced throughout the game to try to curve the, like, because it's going to be repetitive. That's just the style of the game, but you need to change it up as much as possible, which, unfortunately, from everything that I've seen and looked into and the little bit that I played, it doesn't really do that. So
trying to think of other things on the Xbox One. Not that I can think of. I mean, the big thing now is Sunset Overdrive and Halo Master Chief Collection as the exclusives for the year. And I don't think the Xbox One has found its killer app yet. It's come close with Titanfall, although that game, it's really weird. I was actually listening to a guy on YouTube called Driftor. Fantastic YouTube channel. Check his shit out. And he said something along the lines of, Titanfall was a game that was really hot on Twitch, the stream, for about 2 weeks, and then that community dropped off. Now, me and Jamie, you and I still actively play this game today.
And I still throw it on the stream, and I find I actually get the most viewers whenever I'm streaming Titanfall over anything else. So I don't think the community for streaming that is dead.
There aren't that many people, though. When you go online, it's one of the lower games, which is really kind of weird, too, because it's a competitive, fast-paced shooter.
Well, I think that's mostly because, like, there is a lot of shooters out there, and it's not the current one. Like, I mean, the Call of Duty just came out. You got Master Chief Collection is
Battlefield
out.
Battlefield still.
Yeah, Battlefield is still, just as old as Titanfall. So, it really comes down to, it's just not in market right now. Like, if a Titanfall 2 came out, I bet you'd be the only thing people would be watching for a good month. But
that community, I don't know. I mean, I really enjoy Titanfall. In fact, I'm almost generation 10. I'm like 20 achievement or 20 points away from doing it. I just need to finish it. My God, I just need to finish it and then I can be done. That's one of the few games where prestiging meant something to me.
It's the first time I've ever actually cared about prestiging in a game.
Like, yeah, because I'm like, oh my God, I'm actually going to be really, really good.
Well, because unlike a lot of the older Call of Duties that had prestiging, in that it was literally just that little number that you had. For me, with Titanfall, it's like, hey, they actually give you new challenges to try, which makes you change up your gameplay experience.
It makes you better.
Yeah, and it does make you better with overall everything in the game. So that was actually a lot of fun, because it's like, hey, I prestige, yeah, I have a new number, but I have these new objectives that I have to do to become the next level, meaning I have to play in a different way.
Now, I will credit Titanfall with making me a better first-person shooter player, because I'm playing Call of Duty Advanced Warfare now, and I'm thinking of it like Titanfall, which doesn't help me all the time, but because my reflexes have been trained up from that game, I feel a hell of a lot better. I mean, hell, last night in COD, and this is a first for me, I went 16 kills, 3 deaths, 9 assists. For me, I feel that's goddamn impressive. I'm just saying, that's never me that good. My previous best was like 18, 9, and 4 or something. Yeah. But still, I think that's one of the better things for the Xbox One, is it had a game like Titanfall, but it also was released on PC as well, but whatever.
Yeah, it comes down to, like, when buying a console, at least for me, like, because it really comes down to the fact, like, they all cost a lot of money. So you have to pick and choose, unless, you know, you've got enough money that you're just like, hey, I'm going to buy all of them, which not everybody does. Like, I usually get all of the consoles down the road, I'll pick one at a time, and I'll just slowly buy them and buy the specific games that I like for them, just because I have a gaming collection. I like having all of the consoles. I like having my options there. So when it comes down to choosing, you have to kind of decide the negatives versus the positives, right? And for me, there's just a lot of negatives for the Xbox 360. When it first came out, you were required to buy it with the Kinect. So when they did that to reduce prices, they were basically like, well, okay, we're going to make a slightly weaker machine than the PS4 because we have to cater to the Kinect prices, like it being bundled in. And then suddenly, you know, I was always saying it, there's no reason to have the Kinect. I don't know why they're pushing it so hard. They finally gave in and said, fuck it, we're going to do it without the Kinect. You can buy them without the Kinect. You don't require it anymore. So suddenly, all of the features that Xbox actually had, which were basically the voice commands and the dashboard being able to be maneuvered via voice and hand gestures, etc., goes out the window. So now you just have this really clunky dashboard compared to the Xbox 360. If you were just a controller user, you don't have a Kinect because, I mean, you probably bought the console without the Kinect version. because why spend an extra $100 for something that is mostly seen as a gimmick? Which, don't get me wrong, I love the voice command thing, because now that I actually understand how to use the voice commands, I actually can't get anywhere with the controller in the menus. I use all voice commands because it's complicated as shit with a controller versus just being like, hey, Xbox, do this. But that being said, like, most people that are buying Xboxes now, they don't have access to any of that. And $100 for a gimmick like that is pretty steep. So now they have a shittier console than the PS4, hardware-wise, with a very clunky dashboard that I don't like. So, personally, even though I have an Xbox One from that contest, I would not have bought an Xbox One over one of the other consoles, just because it's just so... It has so many negatives towards it.
See, one of the reasons I really like the Xbox One, but it depends on how you consume your media. I am very media savvy, which means I have to have the best cable package because I need to be kept up on news, because that's just part of the old news hound in me. My wife loves watching TV, so she has to have access to whatever. And I like the fact that I can go, Xbox, watch AMC, or Xbox, go to CP24, or whatever. I like that. But that being said, I don't know.
It's still a gimmick, but yeah, it is cool for people. Like, it helps and is something that works for people that are like that. I myself don't have cable. I do everything on the internet, so, like, the Xbox really doesn't do anything for me, which I know a lot of people are starting to convert that way. With the way society is, the internet is getting more popular than even having cable. Like, having a landline phone, nobody cares about it anymore. You can use VoIP. Skype? Yeah, Skype, VoIP, or just use a cell phone. Like, everybody's starting to become a lot more wireless and internet-oriented rather than using, older products like cable or anything like that. Because Netflix, almost everybody uses Netflix now, rather than actually turning on the TV and being like, okay, well, let's surf through the channels and see what's on. You're just like, hey, I want to watch this. Go to Netflix, watch it.
Yeah, because you got Netflix, you got Crackle, you got Hulu, you got the WWE Network, you have HBO, you have Amazon Prime, you have all these on-demand services, and the Xbox One really does those well.
But so do all, like, almost any console or even computer has access to them too, right? So
yeah.
It's not like that's an exclusive for it, so...
Yeah, I mean, in terms of Xbox One as a reason to get it yet, I think it's getting there. I mean, I think Sunset Overdrive and Halo Master Chief make a pretty compelling argument if you wanted to get... I think, okay, that's the thing. If you're going to get an Xbox One, you don't buy it for one game, you buy it for a couple.
Yeah.
And at this point, I think the three games to get for the Xbox One would be Titanfall, Sunset Overdrive, and probably Halo and Killer Instinct, which obviously those are the big exclusives to that console. But if you were to bundle any one of those in a console bundle and you don't have the other ones, I might say avoid it, because there's nothing that's that killer app just yet. It has not found its true Halo, and I know I just said buy the Master Chief Collection, but you've already done that 10 years ago.
Technically all the same, just they're remastered, which is great. So it's a great add-on if you already have the console, but it's not really something to buy the console for specifically. But that being said, like, if you like any of those other games and they're like one of your favorite things, such as Killer Instinct, Forza, Dead Rising 3, like, if that's your killer app, everyone has their own taste, right? Then yeah, get the console. I mean, there is negatives, but there is also positives. And unfortunately for me specifically, the positives just aren't more than the negatives. So I would not have bought the console yet. But like I said, next year, November, I would have bought it because Master Chief would have been on there. And there is some bright future things for the Xbox as well. There is supposed to be a Gears of War. We're not sure what the title is. It's still in development. They've just announced, you know, there will be a Gears of War. I'm hoping it's next year. Because if Halo 5 and Gears of War 4 or 5, whatever the heck it's going to be called, or just a subtitle. If it comes out anywhere near the Halo 5, well, there's your reason to buy the console. You have Gears of War and Halo, the two biggest franchises on the Xbox 360, now on the Xbox One. It'd be a reason to buy it, right? That being said, is there any other games that you know of that are coming out in the future, or services, or anything exclusive to Xbox?
Let me see. Nothing off the top of my head that I can think of. I mean, everything that they've have predicted more or less has come out. I mean, okay, there is Project Spark, but no one's talking about it. I have it, and I haven't touched it.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of thanks for not advertising the crap out of that.
I mean, it had a little bit of advertising, but most of it was negative via them putting Conquer on their advertising, and everybody was just pissed. which, that was, what, last E3 or something? I can't remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, so those are two really big titles, Gears of War and Halo 5, coming out next year. So if you don't have an Xbox One yet, like next year, probably some good reasons for it.
Yeah, next year I think it's going to be Xbox One's year if they can pull out some really fantastic titles. Now, let's talk about PlayStation 4. This is the console that I think had the weakest launch, but it's had the strongest comeback.
Well, and it's funny because when we look at the numbers and everything, PS4 has blown Xbox out of the water. But that being said, as somebody that has been looking at buying a PS4 and, like, reasons versus an Xbox One if I didn't have one, I'm still having hard... Like, I'm having no real major reason to buy a PS4. Like, if Kingdom Hearts comes out in Kingdom Hearts 3 and Final Fantasy 15, I'd be buying them instantly. But apparently they're going to be on both consoles. But I prefer my Final Fantasies on the Sony platform, because that's where it originated. Well, technically Nintendo, but... yeah, I mean, the only thing that entices me about it is that it's actually a better hardware. It has a very good interface, so it's kind of like opposite of Xbox there, but there's no titles that I really care about. Infamous Second Son, I believe, was the name.
That one was surprisingly good.
It looked really, really good. Like, definitely worth having if you have a PS4. But for me, I still don't think there's anything crazy out that I'm like, I have to go buy this right now. Like, I want to buy one. I really do. But I want to be able to play something as soon as I buy it. And that game's just not there for me personally. Like, I love RPGs.
Now, I've been playing the PS4 for a good little while now. And originally I was like, it's a lot of who cares. In fact, it almost didn't get turned on a lot during the first couple months. And then I got Infamous Second Son. And that made me pay attention to what was going on the PlayStation. The next game that really caught my attention there was probably the remaster of The Last of Us. Utterly amazing. And even the update to Tomb Raider, which is the definitive edition, but that's not exclusive. In fact, I almost want my wife to grab me all my PlayStation 4 games so I can tell you what I have. In fact, I'm going to do that. Blair,
what?
Can you bring me all the PlayStation 4 games?
Fuck off.
Awesome. but
that was the best.
In terms of downloadable titles for it, I like the fact that through PlayStation Plus you do get some free games. I got Flower, which is you play a pedal on the wind, so to speak.
See, that was also on PS3. Like,
PlayStation exclusive.
Yes. Issue, though, is that I find a lot of the titles for both Xbox, PS3, it's a lot of either remasters or just games that are also on the old generation console. Like, I feel like they're just getting close to, but they haven't hit the line where they're just like, okay, these games are next gen exclusive. They've started to get there with, like, Assassin's Creed having Rogue for PS3 and Xbox 360 versus Unity being for the next gen consoles, but for exclusives wise, they're still kind of holding on with, like, remasters and stuff like that. Which is really just odd to me that they're not like, hey, here's a brand new amazing game that is PS4 exclusive. Second Son was good, but... Well, and I mean, for people that enjoy the Infamous series, it's probably a system seller, but...
Like, what else is there? Okay, so my wife has brought me the huge stack of them.
Put on a hat.
Thank you. Okay, so for PS4, I'm going to put them into exclusives and piles that are on that are on both systems. So just give me a sec here to sort. Okay, I have Watch Dogs. That's available on both systems. I have Killzone Shadowfall. That's PlayStation exclusive. Infamous Second Son, PlayStation 4 exclusive. The Walking Dead Seasons 1 and 2. That's available on both systems. Alien Isolation, both systems. Injustice, both systems. Assassin's Creed, both systems. Battlefield 4, both systems. The Last of Us, exclusive. And Destiny, available on both systems. Better experiences on PlayStation 4. So out of all those games, I have four that are console exclusive, excluding Octodad, which I know I've got downloaded. And I think that's pretty much about it. But I don't know. I like certain games better on the PlayStation 4. Plus, it's such a small thing, but it's a better thing. The Xbox One has a Blu-ray player. The problem is it has trouble reading them sometimes, and it has trouble reading DVDs at times. And I know that's not a thing that's unique to my console. It has to do with how discs are authored. For example, I got a copy of the Angry Video Game Nerd movie about a month and a half early. So James Rolfe gave me one of the non-mastered copies. It wouldn't play in the Xbox One at all. Works fine in the PlayStation 4. I have an off-the-rack DVD of like Judge Dredd or something. Wouldn't play in the Xbox One. Works fine in the PlayStation 4. PlayStation 4 has less software lockouts on it. You can do a lot more with it. Now, that being said, PlayStation 4 doesn't have its own dedicated media player yet, whereas Xbox One you can now hook up an external hard drive to as storage, but you can't upgrade the internal hard drive, whereas PlayStation 4 you can, and you can even use a solid state drive that means your data will move a little bit quicker and you can do a lot more with it. So, I don't know. I mean, there's just...
So it's really sounding like... It sounds like the last gen for me. If it was exclusive, I bought it for wherever it was exclusive. When it comes to games that were for both consoles, I always preferred to get my shooters on my Xbox, and I preferred everything else on my PS3 because, one, the Blu-ray discs that it used were a lot more scratch-resistant, and the Xbox 360 versus the PS3 like to eat discs. I never had that actually happen to me. I just used to work at EB Games and understand how that happens. I don't know the difference between the discs and for the PS4 or the Xbox One, like their resistance to scratching and all that. But it really comes down, I guess, to you enjoying one controller over the other and the systems. So between the dashboard and how fluent the actual game plays on that specific console versus the other console. But it still sounds like for exclusives-wise, PS4 doesn't really have anything that's like, holy crap, buy me because of this. It sounds like it's more like the actual console itself is just better.
Although, if there was any one game that would... There are two games I feel tip very heavily in the PlayStation 4's favor. And that's The Last of Us Remastered, and I know, once again, available back on last gen. But if you don't have a PlayStation 4, this might be a reason to pick it up. The game looks gorgeous. Mind-droppingly gorgeous. Because I think Naughty Dog was able to bring it up to an entirely different level now that it didn't have the PlayStation 3's hardware restrictions.
We've actually said this back when we were talking about The Last of Us on PS3. The game is so good, and it pushed the limits of the PS3 like to the most that system could push out. And we both said, like, if you don't have a PS3 yet, because that was near the end of its life cycle, buy it for that game. So if you don't have a PS3 and you you don't have that game and you have a PS3, you can go buy it. Or if you don't have a PS3, then buying a PS4 for that remaster is definitely worth it, because buying a PS3 was worth it to get that game, right?
Yes, absolutely.
That being said, a PS3 is probably going to be cheaper, even with like The Last of Us, than a PS4 in the remastered copy, but it looks prettier.
Now, that's another thing that I just kind of thought of now. Certain things are easier on the PlayStation 4, or I just like them better. And it comes to, and I talked about this a couple of days ago on another show, which I'm sure will be posted on this network, thanks to the Geekcast Radio Network. It's apps. And I was getting to this point before I got derailed. The PlayStation 4, it's a lot easier to say if you want to access certain apps you shouldn't be able to get in your country, for example. If you will want to create a U.S. PlayStation account, it's like three steps, you're done. If you want to do it for Xbox Live, you have to jump through a million friggin' hoops. And you might be, asking, why am I doing this? Because I enjoy good Netflix. Because I enjoy good old-fashioned wrestling. And I got it for the WWE Network. Which, yes, it's available in Canada, but it's gimped to shit. Because you can't access it via consoles. You can only access it via Rogers or whatever. And I also like the Twitch app. On the PlayStation 4, it's a button. You just hit share. Hooks your Twitch app, you go through one or two menus, you're broadcasting. And it's less obtrusive and more stable than the Xbox One Twitch app, which I find my chat will go out of sync. It'll just, it's a lot less clean than the PS4's app. It's just more stable. And I think the PlayStation 4 has a lot of room to grow in terms of what it can support, in terms of what it will do later, and that's MP3 support, which I think they've just added. I know they're probably gonna have DLNA support, which is like media server type stuff, which in my house, all my stuff is slaved to about three or four different hard drives connected on my network, which streams out to my PS3 and my Xbox One. Or not my Xbox One, my Xbox 360, which I only recently got Windows Media, the Windows Media Player server working properly, yet my PlayStation 1 doesn't work properly. Either way, that's neither here nor there. But I think PlayStation, it just seems a lot more friendly to that type of thing. But Xbox has the jump on them, the fact that it can read media from external hard drives. Like, I've watched my Animaniacs downloads on my Xbox One, whereas I couldn't do that on my PlayStation 4. But
and that really just comes down to like them having enough time to create an app for that, which I mean, like, I'm not saying it's good that Xbox has it and PS3 or PS4 doesn't have it yet, so like, yay, plus for Xbox. But as you were saying, with the, it feels like there's more room for it to grow when it comes to hardware. As we were talking about with Last of Us pushing the PS3 to its limits, the PS3 and the Xbox 360 were very similar on their limits, whereas down the road with a PS4 versus an Xbox One, the Xbox One's going to hit a limit a lot sooner. So like they won't be able to be pushed as far as PS4 just because of the actual hardware that's on there.
Yeah, it's kind of already reached its artificial hardware ceiling. Mm-hmm. If you will. So I kind of wonder what's going to happen. Another thing that I like about the PlayStation 4 is this whole share play thing. If you're stuck, one of your friends can pick it up and help you, which is something they promised at launch, but it's only recently become working. I haven't had a chance to play around with it yet, so I can't speak too much about it, but I thought it was really, really clever, the fact that they would offer something like that. And like I said, just its media functionality in terms of physical media is top notch, whereas the Xbox is kind of holding it for digital right now, but that will likely shift in the next few months.
Well, and I mean, the thing is like when Kingdom Hearts launches and Final Fantasy 15 launches, I'm hoping next year. Anyway, when those launch, that is going to be a huge community that is going to buy those. And it's really going to come down to who gets exclusives for that and who it's going to run better for. I personally am hoping that it's PS4 is going to get more exclusives for those two games, because, you know, they've had a dedication to Sony a lot longer than Xbox. So if that happens, kind of like how Xbox paid for the first time exclusive to Tomb Raider for the next Tomb Raider, like they get it first. It's exclusive for a time period. If they do that for, like, if Sony pays for that for Kingdom Hearts and Final Fantasy 15, I'm pretty sure that's going to lock in people buying a PS4. Like, it, for me, for sure, because I want to buy a PS4 for those games anyway. But if they're like, hey, we get this game a month in advance or even like a week in advance over Xbox, I want to play those games so bad, I'm going to go buy a PS4. So they really, from everything we've talked about, it kind of seems like PS4 is kind of doing better in the hardware aspect, whereas Xbox has a few more exclusives that are a bit better as of right now. But that being said, if you actually look at the sales numbers, PS4 is still obliterating Xbox.
Now, Xbox has sold a lot more since the price cut, mm-hmm. and that Kinect is optional. And Kinect, frankly, is dead, in my opinion, because the only
game... No one cares about it.
The only like, game that's been developed exclusively for it that's even remotely quality, it's a game that's another Xbox One exclusive. It's called Fantasia Music Evolved. Mm-hmm. And basically, you're playing Fantasia. You use your hands. You can direct the orchestra to do shit on screen. It's actually really, really cool. When it works, because you better have a damn big living room, because I'm a fat fuck... Playing this in my living room, I'm crippled. I can't stand for more than a minute at a time. My knees are gone, which means the Kinect can't detect me standing. So I have to play sitting down or in a chair of some kind. And it doesn't always pick that up. And I'd say the Kinect is not very handicap friendly, which is kind of surprising. And I never thought I would consider myself a handicap gamer. But, you know, that's the hand I've been dealt. That's the way that I will identify. And with the PlayStation 4, I don't have any of that. Yet the PlayStation 4 does have voice commands and everything, but yet you never use them because they're confusing as hell. But,
Well, see, they put that in there as an option, whereas Xbox was trying to force it as a, like, you have to do it this way.
Yeah.
And now that they've dropped that, it's literally like them being like, oh, so everything we focused about for this console, we're just throwing out the window.
Well, because they had said that, you know, you need it, and the fact that the Kinect was taking up something like 10% of the CPU usage, now that Kinect is optional, it frees up developers to do more with it, which I think is actually
kind of
cool. But
there's still the constraints on the actual operating system, because it was originally built around using the Kinect, so
yeah, like,
it's a give and take on that situation, right?
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, for the Kinect, ultimately with the Xbox One and PS4, you're right. It's going to come down to exclusives and the controller, oddly enough. I mean, for shooters, yeah, Xbox One all the way. Although...
I don't know. I've felt the PS4 controller, and it's not nearly as bad for shooters as, like, say, the PS3 or PS2 controllers were compared to an Xbox One.
Although, that being said, I can't picture playing Destiny on anything but a PlayStation 4, but... I don't know. There's something, like, I've actually had to take controllers back to Future Shop because with Destiny, I've pushed them too hard. And I've broken my like, analog sticks, or at least I've made them not as responsive as they could be. Which is probably why I haven't been playing a whole hell of a lot of Destiny in the last couple of weeks.
I'd say that's mostly just the developers are trying to make the controllers cost less, and they're using cheaper materials, so they're breaking. And that's just kind of how technology works in our current society. Everything becomes cheaper, shittier, and they fall apart.
I don't know. I mean, ultimately, like I said, it's going to come down to a lot of exclusives. This year, I think, will be the big heavyweight contender match.
They're going to be duking it out this year because they both are going to have some pretty good exclusives coming out in the upcoming year. And, for me, right now, I wouldn't have bought either of them but as of next year, around the same time, like November, December, I would be buying both consoles. So that's just for my personal opinion. We've explained why. But that being said, if you have any closing thoughts on that, I'm going to move on to the Wii U right after.
Closing thoughts on the PlayStation 4, it's got a lot of room to grow. And now that Sony's taking its developers a little bit more seriously, I think there's going to be some really awesome titles coming out for it. And there'll be certain games I will always get on PlayStation, like my Metal Gears, my Resident Evils, stuff like that. So, I don't know. PlayStation, you've done a lot to turn my opinion around in the last year, but still got a little ways to go.
So, that being said, Wii U, so much to talk about, because we were originally saying, is the Wii U basically hanging itself? Is it actually going to last? We speculated that if certain things happen, that it would just completely flip around. And our current area is... I'm very shaky on the subject because I do want to say that the Wii U still sucks, but at the same time, I'm probably buying one next week because, well, we've talked about all the reasons why Xbox One and PS3, you know, they have their ups and downs, so being hardware or their software. When it comes to the Wii U, I believe it was Reggie actually tweeted pretty recently that they don't care about the war of graphics that the other two consoles are trying to have. They're focusing on making fun games. So that being said, they have one good thing and one bad thing about them right now. They still don't have much third-party support, which really sucks, but at the same time, they're starting to come out with those games that are Nintendo exclusive and they're console buyers. So if you have no idea what I'm leaning towards right now, it's Super Smash Bros. It is coming out November 21st, I think?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So then they like to release things on Friday or Sundays, because it's Nintendo. They do what they want. They don't want to compete with people on Tuesdays, I guess. And with the 3DS Super Smash Bros., it was sold out in most areas, and people were buying 3DSs for that. It's going to be the exact same thing with the Wii U. Like, I want to play Smash Bros. So badly, but I don't want to buy it for the 3DS because...
It's a good way to trash your 3DS.
Yes, and it's really dumb, but, like, if anybody from Nintendo is listening to this, put an update in the game that allows me to change my directional movement from that circle pad to the D-pad. If you allow me to swap that, I will buy the game. In fact, I was actually at an EB Games, picked up the copy, said, I just want to put it into your, like, they had a used copy. I said, like, put it into your store 3DS. I just want to check one thing. I went straight into the options, went into the controls, and found out that you cannot swap the circle pad with the D-pad. And that was the only thing. I said, I'm buying this today, unless this one thing that I find is in here. And I found that. As soon as I found that, I said, there's no reason for me to buy this. And they're like, well, why? And I said, because I know how I am with Smash Bros. I get very competitive. I love that game. And I will end up breaking my 3DS a circle pad, because everybody else already has been destroying them. So that is a very stupid reason for you not to buy it. Like, one of the best games that are out for a Nintendo console is the Smash Bros. Franchise. Is that they didn't give you the option to change the circle pad to the D-pad. That is such an easy fix, and I know a lot of people that would buy it if it was like that. We just don't want to break our 3DS. We spent like $200-$300 on them. Like, it's just a preventative measure. That being said, now I'm probably going to buy a Wii U, though, because I just really want to get back into Smash Bros. And Nintendo is actually smart in this regard. There's no Wii U plus Smash Bros. Bundle, because they know people are going to buy Wii U's for it.
Yeah, like, I predict the Mario Kart bundles will be the first ones to go.
Yeah, it'll probably be Mario Kart bundles, bots, and then the Smash Bros. Bundle with the GameCube controller and the adapter will go with it. And it's just going to be the add-on, and they're going to sell tons of those on Friday there. Which, and the thing is coming down to the whole hardware versus software bit for the Wii U, there is some really good games that are coming out, but they're like niche markets. If you love Mario Kart, cool. If you love Mario Bros, which it's been the same goddamn thing for a little while here, New Super Mario Bros, New Super Mario, or New Luigi Bros, all that crap. But there's never really been something that's like, oh my god, I have to play this forever and ever until now. Like,
I mean, although I think this is the year where Nintendo has finally found its killer apps, where there is a reason to own a Wii U. Even if you only had five games for the Wii U, you'd be satisfied for years.
And we actually talked about this whenever we were going over the future of the Wii U. We said, if Smash Bros. Comes out and they have some of these other apps, it'll be worth buying. And now I feel as of like that Friday, it's going to be worth having a Wii U.
Yeah, because now, like I said, I've been playing Smash Brothers for the better part of a week and a half now. And it comes out, well, when this episode airs, we're recording it before the Friday of release. So it's out by now. And hopefully you've got it, or at least have bought it digitally anyway.
Or if they're sold out everywhere, we're going to hate ourselves.
Yeah.
And pre-order it. Actually, I did. I pre-ordered it like 2 days ago because I was worried about that.
And as well you should. I think this is going to be one game that's going to be near impossible to find. And
yeah.
I think Nintendo, they took a long time to come out of the gate. But I think in terms of exclusives, they've got some of the best. Because Mario Kart 8 is a reason to own a Wii U. Bayonetta 2 is a fantastic game. Hyrule Warriors is just as fun as I expected it to be. And the other games out for it, some of them are released across other consoles. But if you have kids for, like, say, Disney Infinity or like, Lego Batman, you've got some pretty cool shit there, honestly. And if you want something super hard, you got Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze. There's Captain Toad comes out in, like, a few weeks, I think. There's just a lot of good games on there.
And the funny thing is like, if you ignore the fact that the hardware is, like, crappy compared to the other two consoles, they do what they can with what they built. Like, it is HD, but it may be cartoony HD, etc., but they built their games around that, and, like, the cost point comes from that as well. So, like, it's, I think, $300 for a Wii U, and that's with the gamepad, and with, like, a $60 game included, right? So it's actually, and this is really, really surprising or silly. I'm not sure which word to use here, because I was bashing the living hell out of the Wii U all last year when we were talking, saying like the console's gonna be dead and like they should just build another console to try to compete with the other two. But they've gone the proper marketing technique. They're aiming for the audience that they want to aim for. They've straight up, like Reggie said to the public on his Twitter and all that, saying like, we're not competing with the other guys. We're making fun games to make people buy our system because they want to buy our system, not because it's better than the other systems. They want, like, I think that Reggie and their marketing team understands that most people buy more than one console, so that I think they're just aiming to have a good enough console with good enough titles that it's one of the consoles that you will buy. And that being said, the silly part about this is, even though I was bashing it so much, now that all these games are coming out, the Wii U has the most games that I want to play. And as of that Friday, it's probably going to be the first console that I've actually bought out of the new gen. So I kind of feel like a dick for, you know, bashing it so much before. But that being said, I still hate the idea of that 3D, the pad and the motion stuff. Like, it's all gimmicks. Well, but see, they're coming out with the games that don't use all that crap.
The pad has been virtually ignored as far as I'm concerned. The only game I ever saw truly use it effectively would be Rayman Legends, Splinter Cell Blacklist.
Zombie U.
Most
of these all came out at the very start of the Wii, right? So yeah. Now, like, they're actually focusing on the fact they're like, the gamepad isn't really needed to make a great game. Let's just make great games.
Yeah, and it's just sort of,
And, I'm also excited for games like Xenoblade Chronicles X or whatever the heck it is. It's the second one. Is going to be coming out for the Wii U. They do have plans for more really good games to come out. So for right now, they've got some odds 8 or 9 really decent games that you can play on it. Smash Bros. Is coming out, which is basically sink a couple months into if you really want. Especially with the amiibos, you can train them and all that.
Which is something, because this episode's coming out after the embargo, I could actually mention this. One thing that I was very disappointed in is if you have the 3DS version, it doesn't unlock characters in this version. And I really thought it would. Yeah. I really was hoping it would, because now, over the last week, I've been having to replay a crap ton of this game, which isn't a bad thing, obviously. But I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, again. But it is nice seeing some of the stages in 3D. I'm still not in 3D, in HD. I'm still unlocking a lot of stuff. The amiibos are not as cool as I was expecting them to be.
See, from I've watched a lot of videos and stuff about the amiibos, and I think that really comes down to the mentality of it. Because from everything I've seen about it, it can be a lot of fun. So like you can use it.
It depends a lot on the character that you get, though, because Nintendo didn't give me a pick on who I wanted. They gave me Mario, so I'm like, I don't fight with Mario. I'm a Samus player.
The thing is you're not actually like, it's not you. It's a AI buddy, so you can actually you don't have to train them specifically with the character that they are.
No. It transfers your data onto them.
No, you can actually train them.
Oh, well.
You can train them as an AI buddy for, the 8-man modes, or, just to play with you, or if, you're like, I don't have any friends to play with right now, you can level them all and fight with them, or against them, as a stronger AI partner. And they actually learn, Pro Jared actually put up a video on YouTube recently about how they work, and he was being shown how they work, and so they actually learn from fighting with you. So as he was leveling up his, I believe he has Marth, he was playing as Link, so he wasn't playing, he didn't have to play as Marth, and he was doing a lot of up attacks, so up smashes and stuff to keep the enemy up in the air. So he was doing it to the Marth. He was attacking Marth as Link, launching him up into the air. And, I guess because he was talking with people at maybe a Nintendo event or something about it, of how to train them. And he kept showing clips, further higher levels, etc. And he was explaining, this is how I was training him. And he was explaining, now my Marth does a lot of up attacks. And you actually saw him. Most of the time he was trying to do an up charge attack. Because that's how he was taught to fight by Pro Jared, which is really cool, because it's you can actually train them to fight in your kind of style, or you can get them to be well-rounded by just putting them in all the matches and smash whatever buttons you want against them. And you, even to the extent of if you run to grab an item as soon as it spawns, you grab it and you use it right away, your buddy that you're training, so your little amiibo, they'll start picking up on that habit. So after a level or two of you doing that, they'll start to run and dash for the items as they spawn to try to get it before you. It's a lot more in depth than most of us have noticed. You've seen it more just you're importing your data onto them, but you can train them just from the base to learn your fighting style.
I guess I'm just going to have to kind of play around with it a little bit more, because I've been concentrating on all my other titles this week. So far, though, yeah. I'm not impressed. But once again,
in very one way, it early, is a gimmick.
Yeah. Ultimately, if they sent me Mega Man, I may have felt a little bit different. But true. He's not out till next year. So now that's the thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought they were going to do like a larger wave.
That nope. You'll get a good chunk of characters up until Christmas, and then the rest come out in like February. And some of them will be retailer exclusives, like Shulk is exclusive to GameStop, for example.
Oh, I don't like that.
Yep. So,
because I'm gonna end up wanting to collect them all, and that's gonna piss me off.
See, I was thinking about getting them all, but now that I've kind of, like I said, I've very kind of played around with it, I'm gonna, like I said, maybe I'll go back and watch Jared's video and play with them a little bit more, because I haven't used them in Mario Kart or Hyrule Warriors yet. So
that's actually one thing that I have read that really sucks about the amiibos. Apparently they only contain data for one game, so if you take them from Smash Bros and you try to use them on your Mario Kart, it's going to have to overwrite the save, basically. From a brief read on it, I don't know for sure how that works, but if that's true, that really sucks.
I don't know. I can't speak to that, so I'll have to let you know next show how that all turned out. But in terms of the Wii U now, it's strong. I would actually recommend picking up a Wii U now because they're really easy to find for now.
For now, yeah. At Christmas here, they're probably going to go nuts because of Smash Bros. Like, honestly, Nintendo, they held off long enough to get a decent amount of games for the console, and now that they're launching Smash Bros., which is pretty much what everyone buys any Nintendo console for, if they're not just like a huge Nintendo fan or they have kids or whatever, so like the actual hardcore gaming community, everybody buys it for Smash Bros. And the way they're doing this with Smash Bros., it's a huge cash cow. So you're going to end up buying a Wii U, you're going to buy Smash Bros., you're going to end up like deciding whether or not you want to buy amiibos, which are like $10 a piece, right?
15, closer to 15.
They're closer to 15 after taxes and all that, or with tax, I'm not sure. But so it's more than $10 per amiibo. And then if you want to get like Mewtwo in the game, I've been told that you have to buy both copies, like 3DS and the Wii U version, which I assume you'd register on like Club Nintendo or something. That's how they'll know. And then you'll get, like, so there'll be extra characters, and then they've even rumored about DLC characters that you'll be able to get. The game will be able to have DLC levels, because the Wii U is actually good with internet, unlike the original Wii. So they're going to be doing DLC out the ass for this game. You just know what's going to happen, because you want to know why? Because we're going to buy it.
Yep.
We're not going to think about buying Smash Bros. DLC because it's Smash Bros.
It's already
sold. We love everything
to us.
About it. Yeah, it's the amiibos. Like, I'm sitting here going, how am I going to afford all of these different amiibos? Because I would want one of each because I love Smash Bros. So much. All the previous Smash Bros. Games, we've just been like dying for extra characters or updates or anything like that. This is the first generation where they're going to be able to give us all of that, and there's going to be a price tag on it because they know we're going to buy it. So, everybody just open your wallet and, you know, get ready to bleed your money into Nintendo's pockets.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, honestly, Nintendo did this right, and I think they waited on this till Sony and Microsoft had basically beaten the crap out of each other, and they're like, okay, guys, we're going to swoop in now. Have your Destinies, have your Halos. We've got Smash Brothers.
And they're launching it at, like, a perfect time, because all the games that just came out, so, like, the Assassin's Creed's Halo Master Chief Collection, any of the crazy hardcore gamers that are going to want Smash Bros., they're going to power through that in these weeks, and then they're going to pick Smash Bros. Up and a Wii U on Friday.
Yeah, I mean,
there's nothing else to play.
The only other big game that came out this past week that really matters is Grand Theft Auto V, and even then, it's just a port.
Yeah.
You could probably put up a pretty good case for Dragon Age and Far Cry, but at the end of the day, Smash Brothers. You know, so Nintendo, I think out of everybody, I think you've come out the strongest, surprisingly, and it's taken you a year and a half to get.
It's
good.
The exact opposite of what we were talking about last time we talked about the console wars. The Wii U is currently in like your opinion, my opinion, they are actually the strongest right now for what they offer for your money. That being said, like the other two consoles are still great, but for me, there's no reason to buy one.
I mean, ultimately, they're games with better replay value because I think they're more timeless. Something like Smash Brothers and Mario Kart is going to be still fun 10 years from now. Is Advanced Warfare going to be as fun this time next year? Probably not.
No, it'll be another Call of Duty game that no one really cares about, but they'll buy it. And then, very good example of this, and I know I've seen Reggie say it before, they always strive to make games that are just really good. And the reason, like, you never really see too crazy of a sale on Nintendo games is because the games are so good and sought after that they don't need to put a sale on them.
They keep their value.
They keep their collector value. So, like, example, Super Smash Bros. Super Smash Bros. Melee for the GameCube. When Smash Bros. Was announced for the Wii U, everyone got all nostalgic and wanted to play that game. That game's price went from $25, which, yes, a GameCube game was still worth $25 because it was Smash Bros. And it's a Nintendo exclusive. It shot up to $50. That's in Canadian prices as of current market rate today. It'll probably change by tomorrow. But it's just, that's the kind of example. Like, any collectible in the past, straight Nintendo Nintendo first party titles, they always retain some sort of value, whereas you get all these Call of Duties, the Halos, everything are worth, like, Xbox Halos right now are worth like $2. Call of Duties are worthless entirely. It's just they make quality games, and there's enough of them now that's like, I'm buying a Wii U next week. I think I'm just gonna dig into the pockets and do it.
You need to.
Yeah. So to round up that, well, we basically round up those three consoles. So,
I guess we could share like 2 minutes on the handhelds.
Yeah, there's really not much to talk about for the handhelds. The 3DS, Nintendo has always prized themselves on having amazing handhelds. The 3DS has Pokemon X, Pokemon Y. It also has the Pokemon Omega, Alpha, Ruby, Sapphire things. They're coming out. There's Fire Emblem Awakening, there's just so many games for the 3DS that are amazing, and the console itself, you can turn off the 3D, it really doesn't matter to me. It's a cool little gimmick, but it doesn't matter, I bought it for the handheld fact that it has such good games on it. The only thing about that kind of annoys me is, they're coming out with the new 3DS that's going to have better hardware. That feels like they're kind of digging at my pockets, because they've said that some games are going to be exclusive to that because they have the higher hardware specs. Doing the normal, the XL, etc., that's okay. But as soon as you start being like, hey, we're doing a new version of the 3DS, it's just being called the new 3DS.
I think
it feels like it's stabbing at me.
I think it's very similar to what they did when they had the Nintendo DSi. That's what it feels like. It's got some new hardware in it. There'll be some exclusive games for it. I don't think it's going to be a big deal in the end.
It might not be. I don't know.
And the Vita, what can I say about the Vita? You done fucked up.
God. Here's the difference between the 3DS and the Vita. The Vita
one sells,
went for
one
hardware.
Doesn't.
The Vita went for awesome hardware. The 3DS went for okay hardware.
And good games.
The 3DS got good games. The Vita has good games, but they're nothing that really are like, holy crap, I have to buy this because it's Pokemon. No, it's kind of like how the PSP, it actually has a lot of really good RPGs. So like RPGs on the go, if you like that kind of stuff, then having a PSP was amazing. And the Vita, from everything that I've seen, because I watch like the weekly updates of what's coming out for each console, every time I see some sort of RPG on the PS Vita, and it's like, I really want to play that, but I just don't have the time or the money to buy another handheld. I'm sure I'm going to regret it down the road because I love my PSP. PSP is one of my favorite handhelds, and it has tons of RPGs. And the PS Vita looks like it's the same, It's just, I don't know. They need to do some sort of integration with the PS4. Like, it has integration, but they need that kind of like killer app that is like, hey, you want to buy a Vita, play it on and play with it.
It is cool to play Destiny on your Vita, but ultimately it's a lot of who gives a crap because you're basically just playing on a second screen, which is cool, But,
I mean, it needs to, they need something that will pull it from being a gimmick for the PS4 attachment to being like, hey, this game is amazing on PS4, and it's doubly amazing if you use the Vita for whatever reason.
It needs a Pokemon or a Smash Brothers. It needs
or that.
It needs something equivalent. I mean, sure, it's got PlayStation All-Star Battle.
Nobody really cares about that compared to Smash Bros.
Which sucks, because that game could have been awesome, but it wasn't.
Well, I mean, it was awesome in its own right, but it's anytime you do something like that, it's still compared to Smash Bros., and it's just not Smash Bros. So,
I mean, like I said, there are some good quality titles for it. I mean, I play Walking Dead on it, and I play some other games, but ultimately, it's a whole lot of who gives a crap, and it sucks. It's a great system, but there's no advertising, it gets no support, it gets no love. And now with the PlayStation TV allowing you to play Vita games on your TV, that's cool and everything, but I think it's one last desperate attempt to get some use out of those games.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because when the Vita first came out, for its price versus the actual value of the hardware, it was an amazing price. I don't actually remember what it was. I just remember looking at it. Yeah, it was very cheap, and it's a very good little console. In fact, I want to say that it's probably the most innovative console and has the best hardware for like its size and what it's supposed to do. Except it just doesn't have anything that causes people to want to buy it. Like, it's probably one of my favorite handhelds for what it could, like, its potential. It just isn't being used for that potential.
It needs the right developer to do stuff with it. It needs the right game. I don't consider it dead, but goddamn, if that thing ain't on life support, I don't know what is. So,
well, it's definitely more on life support than the Wii U was this time last year.
The Wii U has definitely moved out of intensive care and is now sitting... It is now resting comfortably.
I think it's resting comfortably in like a mansion bed, dude. Like, it's about to. It's looking for its mansion. Because as soon as Smash Bros. Comes out, they're going to be like, oh, well, we're going to spend all this money. So the Vita, I don't think it'll actually die, though. Because the PSP, it lasted for a really long time kind of in the back pocket shadows. And it had a good life cycle. It's just, it's not really mainstream. And I think the Vita is going to just be the exact same, where it's not mainstream, but it's going to keep making those RPGs and stuff, and they will keep selling. Console. Yeah, I guess.
But anyway, guys, that's pretty much going to do it for us here. I mean, 1 year later, 2 years later in some cases.
Wait. We didn't talk about the Ouya.
Fuck that console. and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. That company, I've never dealt with a more difficult company in my entire life. Tried to review this thing for the better part of a year, and just, my God, delay after delay after delay. And it's a lot of, you know what, I don't give a fuck about portable gaming anymore. Unless it's on a 3DS or a Vita, fuck you. No fucks are given.
Zero fucks.
Exactly. Just, you know what, you can take your call, so cram it straight up your ass, because you know what, Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony, that's who I respect. Anyway, now that I've said that bit of a diatribe, we're done.
Whatever happened to the Steam Box, though?
Oh, you can build your PC in specs to it, and ultimately, it's PC gaming. It's the same thing.
Okay. I just remember it being like really big in the news kind of thing last time we were talking about all
anytime
this.
Anytime you talk about
Steam... I completely forgot about it.
Anytime you talk about Steam, you got a million people waiting to wank off fucking Gabe fucking Newell. Which, ultimately, he deserves it. He gets hand jobs from Jesus himself. So, I don't know. Yay, PC gaming, I guess. I don't care. I'll never have a true gaming PC. As long as I can run StarCraft, I'm happy. That's all I care about.
That being said, on a final note, because we're pretty much wrapped up here. If you do have Steam and you like PC gaming, there is actually a fantastic game on there. It was exclusive to PS3 in the past. I think it might be a remaster or just it's been ported to PC. It's called Valkyria Chronicles. It's on Steam right now. It's not very expensive and it is an amazing experience. Look into it if you're into RPGs / strategic shooters, I would want to say. Just check it out. It's a fucking amazing game. At least it was on the PS3. So, and it's really hard to find on the PS3. And I think it's still like $40 if you do find one on the PS3. So just grab it for, I think, the $20 on Steam. Anyway, that's just my public service announcement, okay?
All right.
Chuck Dodd.
God. All right.
Why are you talking so much, Dodd?
God, anyway. Shut up, Mike. Fuck. Anyway, so hopefully you Americans will have, I think your Black Friday's coming up soon. I think. I don't know. Either way, there'll be a new show next week. Don't worry about it. So anyway, guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd.
And I've been Jamie Johnston saying fucking money for consoles, man. Understand, never leave a note and no suicide plan. Everybody know I got a problem on the mic. Always buzzing all the stuff that everybody like. Everybody listen so nobody miss a beat. Somebody gotta do it and I'll be that somebody. Everybody know I got a problem on the mic. Always buzzing all the stuff that everybody like. Everybody listen so nobody miss a beat.
Somebody gotta do it, it might be that somebody. Everybody knows I got a problem on the mic. Always working on the stuff that everybody like. Everybody listen to a body miss a beat. Somebody gotta do it, it might be that somebody. Everybody knows I got a problem on the mic. Always working on the stuff that everybody like. Everybody listen to a body miss a beat. Somebody gotta do it, it might be that somebody. You suck, you can never do it. Everything you chop will be tough and never come easily. Giving up, like another quitter. No friends, no beliefs in a hindrance. No hope, no money. You never will do better, so just take that talent, throw it in. Feel the dark going in, heavy heart all open in. Listen through the voice.